I'm all about the hype and big numbers and all of that kind of stuff. Talking about that, what about Black Friday? Is that all about the hype, or are there actually real deals to be had? Are we being conned by this Black Friday malarkey? It'll be Black Friday tomorrow, but of course they've been running it for the last week. Are the bargains all they're cracked up to be? The retail analyst Claire Bailey's with us this morning. Morning to you, Claire.
Good morning.
Good morning. Belfast menswear retailer Chris Souter is with us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Mr. Nolan.
What do you think, Claire? Is this all about hype, or are there real deals?
No, there are real deals. I know a report has been released that says some of the deals could be bought cheaper at other times of year. But actually, if you look at it, the deals that we're seeing are things that historically would not have been discounted until after Christmas. And I think we'd fallen into the trap of not gift giving because we knew that things we were buying for people or for ourselves might be cheaper in the Boxing Day sales. So we ended up, if we did buy gifts, was what I call the Boxing Day blues, when we saw things discounted the day after Christmas. And we didn't give gifts as readily because it was better to give money because it would go further. So what I think this does is give a few of the discounts that you might have seen historically in Boxing Day early and get people back into the spirit of buying gifts. You still have to be sensible and do your research and make sure that it's something you need and want and you consider it to be value for money.
I ended up buying stuff last year. I not only wouldn't fit me, I wouldn't wear. I ended up buying gadgets. Seriously, I can't wear a watch, right? I've been wanting to wear a watch for years. I cannot wear one. I don't like the feeling of it on my arm. I bought two last year.
Well, you see, that's the problem. You need to be a bit wiser to say to yourself, step back. Okay, it's a big saving. I'm still spending money. Do I really want it? Do I really need it? So I think the advice is, yes, you will get deals, but make a list, be clear about your budget, and make sure that you're buying for people, buying things that people want or will use.
The other thing I bought, it was ridiculous. I got sucked into all this Black Friday stuff, and what they do on some of these sites, Amazon I'm talking about, right, is they have this countdown clock, all right?
Yeah.
And you've got this thing that's then going on in your head, I'm going to miss out. I bought 250 bottles of water. There was a I had a room full of plastic bottles of water, and I had to get a man down to carry them up to the fridge, and my whole fridge was full of bottles of water. Like, it was ridiculous.
and in fact, yes, there are some great deals, but obviously sometimes they can only afford to discount so many items of a product. So it might be there is 1,000 TVs available at a really good discount, but when they're gone, they're gone. So there is a sense of urgency, but that's fair enough, because in reality, these are products that could potentially be sold at full price. It's just sort of encouraging people to think about buying things rather than giving money for Christmas, and to get them kick-started into the Christmas shopping spirit.
What do you think, Chris? If you had a good customer with you and your suits, would you not give them as good a deal any time of the year as you would in Black Friday?
Well, I think because I'm an independent retailer, yes is the answer to that. Obviously, the multinationals have their hands tied a little bit that way, but certainly in my store, we do not do Black Friday. We do not do any of these gimmicky giveaway deals. It's just, number one, it's not within our business model. Number two, we don't need to do it. Number three, our customers are savvy. They understand that if you're giving something away for way less than what it should be retail wise, well, businesses aren't exactly losing money at it, you know. So the product was probably overpriced in the first place. And Stephen, I think that you actually made a great comparison with yourself. Yes, consumers should have common sense, but whenever you have a big carrot dangling in front of your eye...
I can't resist a carrot. If it's dangling in front of me, I have to nibble on it.
Right, so brand new TV. You maybe didn't need a new 65-inch LED TV for your bathroom, but because it was there and because it was supposedly cheaper, you bought it. Now, Stephen, you really aren't a great example because you have an endless supply of money, as we all know.
No, I do not.
But to the regular punter who also jumps on that carrot and buys that 65-inch LED TV for his bathroom, he then doesn't have any money, or he or she then doesn't have any money left for December to spend on Christmas presents. So we got people coming in to us, because we're a very affable business. We have a lot of friends in the city. And they get themselves into debt just to jump on these Black Friday deals. And they buy the TV or the new washing machine or the new iPhone or the new watch or whatever. And then come the end of our middle of December, it's, oh dear, we've got Christmas presents to buy. And they find themselves then in more debt because they then borrow more to facilitate their Christmas presents. And then come the end of January, because we all know January is a very, very long month for people with regards to getting paid. it's just going to drive this country and the economy deeper, deeper, deeper into the red. And the whole idea of Black Friday was that that was when retailers got out of the red into the black. It's now just became this gimmick to actually forcibly force people to spend money that they didn't necessarily need. And I just don't think it's good for our economy. And other things, Stephen, again, you know, you picked up on this too. You went to Amazon.
Yes.
You know, you went online. That, again, is so damaging to our high street.
And I get that, Chris, but I can't. Yeah. And maybe I'm like most other people. I don't know, okay? But I go to the online first now. And I'll tell you why.
I get it.
I'll tell you why, right?
Yeah.
If I'm driving into Belfast, and I'm just being honest. If I'm driving into Belfast City Centre to buy something, I'm caught up on those bloody bus lanes, all right? Yeah. And then I'm trying to find a parking space, and I'm driving round and round and round that city hall trying to find a parking space.
Yes.
I can't go into the big multi-story ones because I'm a bad driver and I can't turn the corners. Right? So I have to find High Street. I had to abandon my last car in one of those things because I got stuck turning one of the corners.
Yeah, you see.
I cannot find a parking space. If you do find a parking space, you can't really enjoy yourself if it's on-street parking because you're rushing back to try to renew it before you get a parking ticket.
Well, I think,
so why wouldn't I sit in the house click and it arrives within a few hours?
Now, that's the forces
that the local traders are up against.
I get it. And by the way, there are plenty of parking spaces in Belfast. You're just not making the effort to go and find them, Stephen.
I don't like walking.
And that's horrific, Stephen. You don't like walking?
No, I don't do walking.
And by the way, it's not just you. Let's be honest. We, as a culture, as a society, not to use the word we're lazy, because that's a terrible term. But yes, we as a society, we like convenience. We like to park outside somewhere. By the way, you can't park outside my shop, but that's irrelevant. You can find a car parking space and go for a little bit of a dander. And you use it as an experience, Stephen. Shopping should be about experience. When you're on your own, in your bedroom, on your Amazon, there is no experience to that. All you're doing is spending willy-nilly. And you end up probably buying stuff you don't want, like 250 bottles of water.
I did, but I honest to God, I did.
Well, if you'd have came into Belfast and went for a walk, you'd have went.
I wouldn't have bought two.
You'd have went home without your 250 bottles of water, which would have probably been a better job. For you
it's like a reservoir.
And you know, this is the thing. I think we need to concentrate. We need to save the high street, Stephen. Online retail is destroying our high street. And something like small independent business like mine, we have the ability to be diverse and change with the times and keep ourselves current and relevant because we're a customer service business. People come into us for an experience. But it's the bigger multinationals that I worry about. And let's say, and I think in 50, 60, 70 years' time, I don't think we're going to have a high street. I don't think there are going to be city centres with shops in them. They're just going to be filled with offices and warehouses. And that worries me for my kids and my children's children. That worries me. And things like Black Friday and these initiatives that kind of drive people more towards the online, it's not good. And I just think, if you want me to put my neck in, I think we should ban it.
You think you should ban it?
Yes, I think we should ban Black Friday. How about that for a statement?
Claire?
Well, I'm listening to all this. I'm actually standing in London in Amazon's home of Black Friday, and I'm actually in an amazing shopping experience, which is full of artisan and independent traders, handmade, launch pad and marketplace traders who are giving workshops and demonstrations of product, giving customers a really interactive personal experience and showcasing some of the very low-cost options for giving gifts at Christmas so that people can spend their money wisely whilst things are discounted for a short period of time. I've met candle makers who've worked online initially and then developed their business sufficiently to have the confidence to open a shop. So I'd actually suggest that sometimes, not all of the time, but sometimes, the likes of Amazon and other marketplace providers like eBay, ASOS, Etsy, all of these big online retailers actually can provide a platform for growth to smaller and independent retailers to get them started, maybe from the kitchen table, and launch them into the opportunity to then have enough confidence in their business to open a shop.
But that's all very romantic, right? And it is very romantic.
I've met them in another room where I'm standing now.
I get
and
that.
And they genuinely have succeeded because they would never have got the sales if they'd had their own website.
I get that. But if someone goes into, on the wider picture, if someone goes into a shop and they like what they see and they touch it and they try it and all of that, if it's 10 or 15% cheaper online, because online doesn't need to pay the big rates, doesn't need to pay all of those costs associated.
Which needs addressing by the government. That's a structural
with having
issue
a shop.
That definitely needs dealing with.
Okay. Would you blame, Chris Souter, would you blame a customer for feeling it, touching it in your... Would you blame...
If you're selling something unique and handmade, you can't just go online and get it cheaper.
On the products that are in the shops and online, would you blame a customer for touching it, feeling it, doing whatever else in the shop, going home? They don't even need to go home. They get their phone out. They get their phone out in the shop and order it online, cheaper.
But that's the point of an independent business, is to sell something more uniquely with the service level, after sales service, the care and attention that makes you think, I might get it cheaper, but will I get looked after? I want to be able to come back to this person if something goes wrong with my products and say, can you help me? And know that they care so much about my business that they will help me and not just go, oh, sorry, that's not in our returns
policy. There's Mothercare reporting an 11% decline in UK like-for-like revenues. I'm just reading that from the Daily Mirror here this morning.
Better experiences in independent babywear retailers and also online. And the problem with the high street is that they haven't innovated and responded. But the independent sector are actually, where they're doing well, they're doing very, very well.
Yeah.
Because it's more unique. You can't get the same products and services online.
Paul Martin's joining us this morning. Good morning to you, Paul.
Morning.
Good morning.
I love Black Friday. Look, I love it. I have to be honest. Now, I went slightly mad last year and I haven't seen that this year.
I've gone mad this year again too.
You see, now, the one thing I will say before I go into why I love Black Friday is that I think that, you know, it'd be better if some good could come out of it. So, like, for every purchase that you make, you know, there's a pound goes to some kids' charity or something, or something like that, some charity. Okay.
Have you seen smile.amazon.co.uk?
Well, some of them do it, but most of them don't.
The prefix, smile, it gives charity money.
Some of them do it, most of them don't, if we're being honest. So if something good came out of like this mad moment of like greed and gluttony and lust for these new products and everything, that I think that would be good. It should almost be compulsory. And I don't know how they could actually make that happen, but if it was almost compulsory that good organisations and charities had to receive some money out of it, I think that would actually kind of, in a way, make it slightly less grubby feeling.
And do you not feel any? Do you, Paul, not feel any moral responsibility
for the high street?
For the high street,
it's a bit like you said, Stephen. It's, you know, it's such a rigmarole getting into town. Now, I have to say, I do shop in Ballymena, and I go in and go to the Christmas lights turn on and all of that with the kids. And going to all the shops on those evenings, and they do really good discounts as well there, by the way, on Christmas night, or on the Christmas light switch on. So I do try and support, but I think Belfast is a completely different ballgame.
Here's Robert the taxi driver. Good morning, Robert the taxi driver.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Goldfinger.
Good morning.
Stephen, Black Friday,
yes,
and the run-up to Christmas, why doesn't yourself and other members of the public use public transport, get the buses in, and if you've got a lot of Christmas presents for all your regular callers and stuff like that there, you can jump into a nice big black taxi and take you back to your destination,
Stephen. Well, because imagine getting stuck in the black taxi, having to talk to you for half an hour.
Stephen, you're talking to everybody else. You know, you're having your Brexit, hard-boiled eggs and soft-boiled eggs for your Brexit and all that stuff. That's what you hear on the radio now.
You make a fair point, Robert, don't you, that like people should use, if they use public transport, then there's no parking problems, what you're saying.
No parking problems, Stephen. Jump on the bus, jump on the train, go into the city centre. If you've got a lot of Christmas presents, walk around the corner and jump into a nice black cab and take you home and have a bit of crack on the way.
And how do you get, if you get one of these Black Friday deals, how do you get a 65-inch, 70-inch TV home in the back of your car on the bus?
Stephen, they're regularly put in the back of black taxis. You can put a donkey in the back of a black taxi, Stephen.
Maybe we should try. Donkey's been in. Robert in Ballymena. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Stephen, the polluter of the planet.
What do you mean?
Because you bought 250 bottles of bottled water.
I did.
Well, that's a disgrace. Do you know that it takes 7 litres of water to produce one empty plastic bottle, which is one of the worst polluters on the planet?
Are you not going to start having a go at me now for buying a bottle of water?
Not least that you have to ship it from England to a country that has coming down with good quality water. Why do you buy bottled water? It's ridiculous in this country. Nobody needs to buy it.
I'm used to bottles of water now.
You can buy yourself a reusable bottle and put it, turn the tap on, fill your bottle.
I don't drink tap water. No, I tell a lie.
Why do you buy it? Why do you ship it from England? That's ridiculous.
I don't know.
Crazy man, it really is.
I must have been susceptible to all the marketing around bottled water. I don't know.
Oh dear.
I don't turn on the tap.
The worst aspect of it is, Stephen, I'm just passing this out for everybody who buys plastic bottles of water, that it takes 7 litres of good water to make one empty plastic bottle.
Although I'll tell you what it did do.
Do you not think that's a terrible waste of good water?
I think you're making a fair point. I'll tell you what it did do, though, Robert, and this is interesting. All right, I think it's interesting anyway. So I was up in my mother, Big Audrey's house. It was about a month ago, 2 months ago, whatever it was. And I stole a bottle of her water, right? When I was walking out into the car to go home. So I stole a bottle of her water, put it under my jumper, out into the car, right?
Yep.
And I started drinking the water.
Yep.
And the water was lovely. And I thought, where's she getting this from? Different taste of water. And I thought, this is nicer than the bottles of water I get, right? And I looked at the label. Guess what the label said?
I don't know. Mourne water.
It said Northern Ireland water. In other words, it was the water that you get out of the tap that was in that bottle. So that shows you how susceptible. Shows you how susceptible to marketing.
Yes.
I actually was. Anyway.
On my way. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Good morning to you. And Chris Sitter, before you go, this is the first opportunity I've had to have a go at you. Stop winding me up on Twitter about how bad I look on TV.
Stephen, look, honestly, just get your wardrobe to give me a call and I will sort you out from head to toe. And where do you see the difference it will make to your Twitter following too when we get you another 100,000 followers just because you look so damn dapper?
But you can't dapper up a fat man.
Don't you worry, I can do plenty with my needle and thread.
I believe you've lost a stone.
Yes, I've been doing this sort of healthy eating diet type thing. I'm doing it really, really easy, Stephen. So I'm getting up and going to the gym 3 days a week from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the morning, doing this thing called the boot camp, and then limiting my calories during the 5 days a week just to 2,000 calories. Listen. I'm eating chocolate, I'm eating buns, I'm eating the odd donut. And honestly, the weight has literally fallen off me really, really easily.
Yeah.
And it's something, if you want to come with me to the gym, Stephen,
I'll come down
to Fantasy Island and pick you up in the morning. I bring you in. No problem.
If you
want to do it, just you let me know.
See, when I see all these people that look really pot, like, you know, Tara Mills, how well she looks on TV, and Crothers and Thompson, all these people look all dapper. I'm standing there like Wurzel Gummidge.
Look, you just need the right tailor, Stephen. You give me a shout and I'll sort you out. It's not a problem.
Thank you very much, Chris. Nice to talk to you. Thank you. Good morning.